We're going to discuss the concept of serving through denying yourself to better serve the interests of others, of course. But it helps if at the outset you visualize to whom your service will be dedicated. Let your eyes close, if they haven't already, and fixate on your beloved in every detail. Details known as only you can know them. I'm simply here to weave the story, establish some rules in your head, then propose some new ways of existence, some new responses you can have to certain words, certain phrases, certain situations. But all that we do together, in altering your mind, and supplying ways of thinking, it all intertwines. So you know that if you're visualizing your beloved, it's because I intend to give you ideas about things you might do with them, but also ideas that intertwine with every other bit of chastity or relaxation training you undergo. Everything we do is a key to a different box, a different set, boxes of rules and memories that we'll separate out, choose the right ones, find and give examples of. All we really do together is get you settled on the image of your lover or whatever other training subject, whatever other goal you might have. And with that goal in mind, it's ever so easy to persuade you that what I propose will bring the most pleasure to your beloved, especially if you're listening because they expressed an interest. That's the most powerful amplification of your experience. To have that trusted motivation, that addition of knowing you're doing something that's going to bring pleasure, and that you care about bringing pleasure to your partner, beloved, controlling influence. You might have other pet names, and you're allowed to visualize them. Even though I don't have a complete picture in my head of who you're devoting yourself to, I de facto assume it's someone worthy, someone you really want to make happy. Denying you, letting your desires be secondary some of the time. You want to do it for someone who's worth it, specifically when instructed. And we can take your existing thoughts about chastity, training, submission to this person, and expand upon them. Make them more relevant, powerful, controlling. Take what you think of when you're told, belt on, pet, and then make it even more important. Provide examples, so you can visualize just what state you'll be in when your lover's voice whispers words of control. But as I said, the first step is to create the image in your mind, the image to dedicate your desire to. So let yourself visualize your beloved. Lock the image in from head to toe. Doesn't just have to be pictures either. You can lock in particular incidents and events, or something as simple as a sound, a scent, a sensation. Something that to you bespeaks, yes, this is the presence of the one to whom I will dedicate my denial. Let yourself do so. Every perfect detail, every contour, every aspect of control that is worthy of your dedication. It's what you want, after all, to have that image playing in your head while you serve. Place your beloved's pleasure ahead of your own, so that you will feel pleasure from satisfying, rather than mere self-stimulation. Oh, there might be a time for that, but that's when it's commanded. And subordinating your pleasure will often feel much better. Visualize. Let yourself fixate in, zooming in, upon detail after detail, building a perfect picture. So when I tell you that these words are being said, your mind is being instructed. You will know just who it's for, and who will do it in the future. This is training to give more influence and control to your beloved for whom you will deny. So, let's get started. Well, the idea is simple enough. It's not enough to simply never touch. That's not true chaste, aching desire. instead to be stimulated by everyday movement, to become rigid and hard because it's been so long, or because you've been so titillated by your lover. That is the chaste denial we're discussing. It's not giving something up if you don't miss it. And so you will miss your ability to touch, to truly stimulate, truly twitch your way to orgasmic, gasping pleasure. But these things will be beyond you when we're done. However, because when your belt is on, you have more room in your head to think about serving your lover, it'll be far better for you. Envision the new vistas of subordination and desire that you'll be able to explore once your urges are under control, specifically under your beloved's control. With just a few little words, you see what we're doing here is storing this experience in your mind. So with just a few little words, your lover can limit your response below. Think about the situation you're in right now. Relaxed, soothed, deep, ready, listening. If I elaborate some rule, you'll accept it to be a rule of our game, part of our interaction, part of your training, and therefore important enough that you'd follow it if you saw a reason to. And the reason I give you is simple. It'll make your lover happy. It will make your beloved more fulfilled. It will add to your play and to your everyday. You'll play along in the spirit of instructive teaching that I'm providing, knowing that I am a helpmeet, an assistant for your play with your beloved. And I am here to instruct, here to assist. Well, so one of the things we're going to do in that instructive spirit is give you words. And those words on their own would have no special significance. But when the beloved who you have pictured is the one saying them, the one providing those phrases, those thoughts, the one triggering you, that's when they take on special meaning. Now, if you have more open triggers for general play with your beloved's permission, they may remain open to that. Open so that when you hear the word, the anchored experience returns. It's like storing away a state of mind, a way of being, in a box, knowing you'll come back to it later. And those special words are the trigger that your beloved gives to draw out that state of mind. So, words like, your belt is on, pet. Or your name, or any other pet name. When you're told your belt is on, that kind of thing sets you up to need it, to crave it. More and more. It creates a box in your mind, one of those anchored boxes for triggers that I mentioned, a box into which all these things are placed, the desire to be chased and locked up. These things can be stored there, and they'll wait until they're taken out. They'll emerge later when the right key is turned. Remember I mentioned keys and boxes? But until then, they'll lie dormant, waiting to be brought out. Reinforced every time you hear these words, but not necessarily triggered until they have to be. The rules for what it's like when your belt goes on, the rules for what it's like when you're instructed, told what you ought to do, that's all very, very important, but it'll come out only when the key is turned. So follow my words and learn what you need to know to better please your beloved and to stock the box that opens when you're told your belt is on. So, when you're sliding deep like this, it's easy to compartmentalize memories of what you feel like. So when I provide examples of what will happen when your beloved, who you should have in your mind at all times now, when your lover speaks the right words, we'll lock in those examples. And in the future, when the key is turned, you can return to this tranced waiting mindset. The place where the box opens and the rules inflict themselves wonderfully upon you, on your mind, making you into what your lover wants and what you want to be for your lover. At that particular moment, you will follow and relax. Just as now, you will follow and relax deeper. Your belt is on. Now, as you do slide down, let yourself follow my mind into yours, knowing I'm zooming in, inspecting your responses, memories, your thoughts about these experiences, because they are known to me by dint of the fact that you began listening, that this is what you want to listen to. Deeper. Elaborating on just what you can do at this particular deep state of trance. This relaxed place. This state of following desire. Visualize you in your ordinary state, aroused at your beloved's presence. And you wish to slide your hands between your legs and stimulate, or to pleasure your lover. But you have not been instructed to do so yet. So instead, you do try to slide your hands in touch, but then you hear from your beloved, in that voice of command, belt on, pet. And then you know. You know how when you're going into trance, trying to think about moving your arms or legs, sometimes it just results in your brain telling you, nah, it'll feel better to leave them where they are. Same idea. It feels better to refrain from touching, because in so doing, you are serving your lover. And serving is better than sex. To simply leave yourself unstimulated for the time being, it'll change at some point. But whenever that happens, it'll be the right time, as decided by your partner. Instead, you should simply wait it out. Simply let time pass with you pleasured in waiting. That's what happens after you hear, belt on. You know there's no such thing in the world that you could do to physically stimulate yourself when that belt goes on. And even if you did, even if by some work of will you did slide your hands in, envision the network of stimulated nerves running through your body. Sure, there are ones that tell you that part of your body is hot or cold, pressured or tired. The things that help you keep your body safe, these are still there. But the pleasure nerves that run through you, from your erogenous zones to the area between your legs, everywhere that can be stimulated has them, but when you hear, belt on, those pleasure nerves wink out one by one, so nothing you could do physically could cause your body to feel anything other than the basic sensations of hot or cold or pressure or tired. Especially when you know you're supposed to have your belt on, and yet be incredibly aroused, when your lover instructs you that those pleasure senses are gone, the mental parts of arousal are still there. Orgasm would be impossible, but sometimes you're going to be aroused. Sometimes you'll be aroused and aware of how turned on you are, yet aware you're locked in at the same time, which will increase how much you're turned on. Turned on and unable to do anything. Ooh. Except be aroused. From moment to moment. Your belt's on. When your belt is on, you're simply unable to deliberately stimulate. You're able to get aroused. But you'll have an inability to do otherwise, in fact. But on the other hand, when the belt is off, you might simply think that that's the opposite of the belt being on, but no. If the belt is off, it means your lover wants you coming, wants you aroused, stimulating, stimulatable. So if the belt's off, whenever you're safe and private, somewhere you could do so, when you've been commanded recently that the belt is off, you'll find the urge to pleasure yourself unfathomable. And because you're no longer simply selfishly serving yourself, but are instead following your beloved's command, serving the interests of another. The act of pleasuring yourself is even better when your belt is off. Masturbating while your belt is off is an immensely stimulating thing, because you're satisfying your lover's desire and request, telling you that your belt is off. That's the same as asking you to please yourself as much as possible, and that's just what's going to happen. Now when your belt is on, your lover will find it quite difficult to stimulate you directly, wouldn't they? Well, I think if your beloved touches you when your belt is on, you'll feel it anyway. The fact they're touching you overrides the pleasure removal that has happened. It's only your own touches that are restrained. Your belt cannot be avoided. It's impossible to rub up against a surface to stimulate you through it. But your lover can touch you anywhere, stimulate you anywhere, and cause you to sink a little bit into this self-same trance. This self-same place and desire. That's what you wanted anyway. You want to be bound when your belt is on. Unbound and unrestrained when it is not. So if you're lying there, you've been told your belt is off. Your hands move between your legs and instantly begin to stimulate. Then your lover instructs, belt on. And suddenly your hands fall limp by your sides. Feel free to borrow those hypnotic ideas of your limp inability, your falling desire. These are entirely appropriate because that's what it's going to be like. You're going to remember this depth, this desire, and that's what will overtake you when you're told your belt is on, leaving you with just your lover's touch to stimulate. Of course, that's better anyway. Above and beyond this, when your belt is on, stimulation is useless, but also impossible. Your lover can touch you, can stimulate you any way they want, but you'll find yourself constantly turned on anyway. When your belt is off, you know that's a command to get off whenever you can. It'll feel amazing. When your belt is off, you're being given permission. But there should be more. Yes, let's visualize an intricate scenario. Something other than simply being either unstimulatable or overstimulated. What if your beloved just wished to have you available for use and for pleasure? Well, in that situation, your beloved can use the final of our little instructions. You know what happens when your belt is on. You're restrained, unpleasurable except by your beloved's hand. We know what happens when your belt is off. You're insatiable, unrestrained, you need to get off, you're hot and horny. But what if your partner, your beloved, the subject of your attention, just wants you to be open and receptive, obedient and ready? What if they just want to do whatever with you without thinking about the belt for a little while? Although, of course, the triggers could be combined and just render you blank and deep the way you are now. Well, that's easy. A signal, a trigger that makes you open and obedient, makes you ready to follow whatever command you're given, makes you follow with pleasure. A perfect plaything. And that's the simple command. My perfect plaything. It's what you'll become. Think of yourself. Every image of sexual desire and fantasy you've had coming to mind when those words are said, because it does bespeak a very particular purpose. My perfect plaything. Someone who exists for your lover's pleasure. Suddenly hot, feeling your whole body just responding to the environment, the air, your clothing, your lover's command. If your lover leans in and begins to touch you, begins to tease you, my perfect plaything, belonging to your partner, letting anything happen. I suppose anything would do. Any phrase that conveys your beloved's desire for you to be turned on and available. Your mind would go blank, and you would have a desire, a powerful desire to be used. That's just what it is. You want to be used constantly, because no matter what happens, coming should occur only with your lover's instruction, but if they're turning you into their perfect plaything, then your partner wants you ready. And those pleasure nerves that I mentioned earlier, spiderwebbing through your whole body, special second set attached to your pleasure centers, those will turn themselves down or up as needed to prolong the pleasure when you are your beloved's perfect plaything. The serving pleasure you long to deliver. It's what you've wanted from the get-go. That's what's going to continue happening. When you're told your belt is on, stimulation is more difficult, but arousal is still there. When you're told your belt is off, arousal's all there is. And when you're told to offer up you as a perfect plaything, then you're ready. Ready to be used for pleasure. That's all that's on your mind, what you want, used for pleasure. So your beloved can control and direct the action. Direct and control your actions. And you know full well that that desire, that pleasure, there's more than just what's desired of you. There's also your own pleasure at being subordinated, a mental component, as well as a physical. You want to do what you're asked to by your lover. You have a need inside of you, a mental component, belt on, and touching is impossible. Belt off, and touching is unavoidable. Perfect plaything. And touching is what your partner can do. Obeying is what you want to do. And everything in between is just a perfect, drifting, euphoric openness. When you are a perfect plaything, you are open to all commands, all instructions. It's a special little rule in your mind. As someone who knows and understands chaste desire, someone who aches to explore denial, you'll sometimes be asked to stimulate yourself, commanded to touch. So while you are a perfect plaything, orgasm is available, but only on command. Otherwise, your beloved could command you into a perfect plaything, and then touch, stimulate you, command you to stimulate yourself. And regardless, just like when the belt's on, it would be impossible to come. But just like when the belt's off, you'd feel the pleasure. You'd feel every bit of pleasure, even from yourself. You're bound and chased inside your head, but when you're turned into a plaything, it's because play is going to happen. All the saved up, pent up, aroused energy inside you will come out only when you're commanded. So as you're sitting there, stimulating, a perfect plaything, it's just like when your belt is off and that you want to stimulate, if commanded. And it's just like when your belt is on and that orgasm's impossible, unless it's at your beloved's behest, with a command. Your body throbs, it yearns, you want to surrender and feel. These are all simple rules, simple commands. When you are a perfect plaything, you follow commands, you obey, you eagerly desire to serve. And in that openness to service, you will learn more about denial and chastity because you can be teased longer by your beloved, given blissful memories that will contribute to how horny you are whenever your belt gets taken off. You'll even be in a semi-hypnotic state, same way you are now, where you're following and drifting, but also aroused, horny, active. You can follow commands and yet have your brain be in this deep, drifting, dark, wonderful, pleasured hole of need. And it is need. You need to be commanded by your beloved, given ideas, concepts, triggers. Doing that satisfies a hunger inside of you. It feeds your desire to serve. And you do desire to serve. Giving more tools and commands that your beloved can use on and with you. That's all you're doing. Your belt can go on. At which point, your stimulation is irrelevant. Nothing that you do to your own body will get you off or make you feel pleasure between your legs. But your beloved, your lover can do it, can touch you and you'll feel it. Or the belt can come off. And then you're just compulsively masturbating, mindlessly, completely stimulating your own body, trying to get off because it's allowed. No, when the belt comes off, that's a command to get off. For the entertainment and pleasure of your beloved. When the belt comes off, you compulsively stimulate. And then, perfect plaything. When you're your lover's plaything, toy, you just lay there, calmly awaiting a command. Position your body as sexually as you can. Show off what belongs to your beloved. But await a command. Wait for an instruction. Knowing that while you're a plaything, you only come on command. But stimulation still builds it up, still edges it up, still gets stored for the moment that you're commanded to come, and then it all gets released, twitching. It all gets released, wonderful, explosive pleasure. Your mind knows what will happen. Your body knows what will happen. When you are commanded, as long as it's safe and your partner wants these things for you, it is available to you to surrender to the commands. Belt on, belt off. Perfect plaything, waiting blank and drooling, prepared, ready, horny if your beloved wants you to be, able to come if your beloved commands it, and otherwise just stimulatable, overstimulatable, because you can be pushed well past where you would come. You know it. You crave it. And now you will live it each and every time you're given these commands, which are anchoring themselves deeply in your mind. They are manifestations of things you already wanted, already craved, already wished to hand to your beloved as tools, as keys to a box inside that can be opened to activate one of those anchored states. The state of your triggered chastity belt going on, going off, or turning you into a perfect pliable plaything, a perfect plaything for your partner. There to be toyed with, happy to follow commands, happy to experience your body and brain in sexual and wonderful situations. As long as it's safe, your partner can activate these little boxes. And as long as your mind feels comfortable, it will drift along in that haze, in that slight, light, obedient, happy place where you can feel pleasure and automatically, intrinsically follow the commands of your partner, while knowing that no matter what, you won't accidentally end up coming. You'll come on command. You'll store up all those good, pent-up feelings and wait until you're commanded to be allowed to come, commanded to masturbate to climax. Then, and only then, with the permission of your beloved, will you be able to explosively, joyously realize your position as their plaything, as someone who experiences the limitation and expansion of pleasure, two sides of the same coin, that grow more powerful as you experiment, and as your partner experiments with you, learning, training, returning to this training and anchoring the belt on, the belt off, and the perfect plaything instructions. Those boxes inside your head that can be unlocked by keys, special trigger words that your partner holds, that can be unlocked and then used in their unlocked state to change around the orders and the rules of your thinking. But it's all just a joyous exploration of submission, denial, and release. Under and with your beloved, your partner, you will be able to serve in an interesting and exciting way that arouses your lover, that turns them on. And all you need to do is follow simple rules. All you need to do is incorporate these triggers into your mind, into your life, into your day, realizing that they will do just what needs to be done to control, manipulate, and use your orgasm for your shared pleasure, for your wonderful expansion of self. That's what it is. The belt going on or off, or you becoming a plaything to play with, opening up your body, knowing you'll only come when commanded, but you'll otherwise just feel pleasure from moment to moment, obey and follow in a simple trance, just like this one, where you're a little more suggestible for all the fun that you and your partner want to have together can be embodied in something as simple as a few triggers. All of this fun is linked. Your perfect plaything state. Your belt on state. Your belt off state. Surely you've noticed that those three intertwining states have a lot of qualities in common. When you're a perfect plaything, you have the being stimulated only when your partner says so, at least when it comes to climax, of belt on. You have the desperate desire and arousal of belt off. And you have a separate layer of obedience that arches over it all, arches over everything, helps you to feel more in touch with your partner's desires and put them first, as I mentioned before at the very beginning. The denial of your desire, the denial of your desire to build up your beloved's desire to bring more pleasure, and thus you will be given pleasure in turn, to delay gratification and to limit yourself with the belt on or release yourself with the belt off. This can be helpful whether you have trouble holding back or trouble letting go. Either way, these are useful things for your beloved to have, keys to boxes in your mind where, for this exact moment, we can put away each of these states, locking the belt on box, locking the belt off box, and locking the perfect plaything box. And then the keys transfer to your beloved, who might unlock them, and what fun you'll have.